The Undoing, a new six-part drama starring Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman, premieres on Sky Atlantic next week. The series, which concerns a grisly murder case that destroys the lives of two Manhattan families. It's based on the international bestseller You Should Have Known by American author Jean Hanef Kurelich, and it reunites Kidman with Big Little Lies series creator and writer David E. Kelly. I thought it was a compelling watch because I watched all about four episodes of it last night, but Chris Wasser is going to join me now and he's going to see whether it is as compelling as Kelly's other series. Chris, The Undoing is a bit tricky when one has to come to discuss it because you don't really want to give any of the plot twists away. So what's the basic setup?
It is a bit tricky, Kay, and I sort of wish, you know, we could have time to discuss it before we went on air, because if you're unfamiliar with the novel and you're going into it fresh, that's probably better. But we can maybe go through the basic setup, which is, as you said, Nicole Kidman, the new Grant star, as a married couple living in Manhattan. She's Grace Fraser. She is a successful therapist, and he is Jonathan Fraser. He is an oncologist who works at a hospital nearby. And theirs is quite a happy life. You know, they're financially comfortable. They have a lovely apartment in the city. They also have a young teenage son, Henry, played by Noah Jupe, who viewers will know from the A Quiet Place films and also Le Mans 66. He's a wonderful young actor. And, you know, it's all quite idyllic. It's all, you know, wonderful life, lots of money, everything's grand. Until Grace is working on a fundraiser for her son's private school, and she meets with the other moms, you know, of the kids that Henry goes to school with, to discuss, you know, plans for this huge gala event. And it's there that she meets this new mother, Alina, played by Matilda De Argelis, a newcomer who I'd never seen before. And there's a weird connection between the two. You know, the other mothers don't really like Alina, but she's drawn to Grace, and you don't really know why. There's something, they have quite an uncomfortable relationship at first, but long story short, the fundraiser goes off and Alina's there, and she's quite upset at this fundraiser and she leaves early, and so too does Jonathan because he's called away by the hospital. And you think, you know, it's just, you know, look, she's upset, I'll talk to her tomorrow, the husband has to work, she'll talk to him tomorrow. Unfortunately, when the next day comes about for Grace, everything changes. And all we can really say, Kay, is that someone goes missing and someone else is murdered. And as you said at the top there, the lives of the families of both Alina and Grace are completely turned upside down.
I suppose it's important to say that Alina is maybe younger than the other women. She's also a beautiful woman, a very sensuous woman. She's breastfeeding her new baby and she's very happy to walk around in the nude.
Yes, and this is something that you know, the other women on the school board find deeply uncomfortable. And that's something striking, that when we first meet Alina, she has not only got a son in this private school and we don't really know anything about her, but she is of a different nationality to the others as well. From you know, she has a son with a Mexican husband, and it's all kind of, you know, the other white mothers are a little bit, you know, that's already first like a you know, they're throwing their noses up at her almost, but also that she has a newborn baby and she breastfeeds at this meeting. And so straight away that's telling you that she's quite forthright and that she doesn't really care what the others think about her. But she's going into a group where everybody knows everybody else's business, and I think they're a little bit, you know, they're a little bit shocked that they don't know anything about this young mother. But as I said, there is a connection between Grace and Alina, and she doesn't really know what it is, but Grace is actually the last person to see Alina at the fundraiser before things take a wobble the next day. So it's very much, you know, we start off in very much of a psychological thriller territory, and then eventually, I mean, for anyone who's seen the trailer for this, you know, like 2 minutes will kind of give something away. It does verge into courtroom drama territory, but that's no shocker given the fact that this is a David E. Kelly series and that, you know, he has found a lot of success, you know, in courtroom dramas.
Yes, and the wealth of the people in it is also key. Like all of these white women, again, in this fundraiser group for their private school, they're all lawyers or therapists.
They are, yes. And it's interesting because without going too much into the plot, you know, The Undoing, it very much is kind of a prestige crime drama. It's dressed up as HBO's next prestige crime drama, following the footsteps of True Detective, following the footsteps of Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn with Amy Adams, and also following Big Little Lies, which was another David E. Kelly series, which we'll come back to. But it's also, you know, it also wants to be more than that, and it does raise themes of white privilege, of what it's like to, you know, live in New York City and try to, you know, Grace and Jonathan are presented as a couple who are almost, you know, these perfect suburbanites, but they're trying to live this life where they want to keep to themselves, but you're living in a city, and you're living in a community of rich white privileged people that all know about one another. And when the court case begins, it also starts to kind of question how much, you know, a part that the media plays in these things. And again, I don't want to give too much away.
Oh yeah, no, but the one thing, you know, that what I should do, Chris?
It asks a lot of questions. It asks a lot of questions, and but it never really digs any deeper. It just puts them out there, and it's up to the audience then to kind of follow them if they want to.
Okay, let's bring our listeners into the world so that they can get an idea of the various persona. Grace, played by Nicole Kidman, meets a very upset Alina, this is Matilda De Angelis, in the bathroom at a fundraiser for the private school both their schools attend. So these are the two women you talked about.
Are you okay? I'm sorry. Because sometimes I just feel overwhelmed and lost. Do you ever feel that?
If you ever want to talk for free. I apologize, I didn't mean it to sound like that. But if you do ever want to talk.
You're so kind. Thank you.
And please don't be intimidated. The parents at Reardon can be a little, Yeah. But most of them are very kind. They are nice people, kind people.
But you are the most kind.
We'll see. Matilda De Angelis there plays Alina, and Nicole Kidman plays Grace. That's from The Undoing. Chris Wasser is looking at the series. We can't talk any more really about the series, but let's talk about David E. Kelly, who has certainly carved out a niche for himself in the area of crime-focused series, hasn't he?
He really has, yes, and he's got quite an impressive CV, but it's probably his work in the last 5 years that I've been drawn to. And I love that how he's best known for, in the last couple of years, for adapting Stephen King's Mr. Mercedes crime novels. Nobody really knew that Stephen King would find, you know, this new level of success as a crime writer, and nobody expected it to turn into a damn fine series for HBO starring Brendan Gleeson. But what I like about that, and also what he did with Big Little Lies, which also starred Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and Shailene Woodley was in there too, is he's not afraid to mix things up, and he's not afraid to rearrange the furniture and give you something that deviates from the source material, but that also provides something fresh for people who are so kind of familiar with the novel. And I know a lot of people might be fussy about those kinds of things, but I like when the story is told differently. But Kelly, he actually has a legal background, and when he was studying at Princeton and studying at Boston University back in the late 1980s, the plan was to become a lawyer, and he did exactly that. And he was dealing first of all in small crime. He was a small crime lawyer, but also dealing in real estate. And on the side, I don't know how he found the time, he was screenwriting, and it was just a hobby. He got involved in small theater groups. He got involved in some sketch comedy groups, and he wrote a whole screenplay for a film in the late 1980s. And that film was made with Judd Nelson, and he thought, look, I might be able to, and it was a crime comedy drama. He thought, look, I might actually follow this route. I might, you know, this might actually be my calling. So he went on to create some very successful TV shows, Doogie Howser, MD, Chicago Legal,
Boston Practice. He most famously in the 90s, he also created Ally McBeal. And a lot of his writing, you know, sometimes it's quite melodramatic, sometimes it's quite soapy, but he's been often commended for the fact that he does pay attention to what it's like in an American courtroom. And you might think that, you know, this is all overblown and this is all just kind of, you know, Aaron Sorkin kind of territory for audiences. Everyone's just shouting at one another. But, you know, he has been held up as quite an authentic writer when he places things into a courtroom. But I don't know about you, Kay. I watched Big Little Lies, and this is the series that I compare The Undoing to most. I've watched five episodes were given to me by HBO, and I should say that HBO were reluctant to give any press. Yes, I did. I mean, they were actually reluctant to give press the final episode because it does keep you guessing right up until the end and we don't want to spoil anything. But I thought this was so like Big Little Lies, and I think it's more than Nicole Kidman. I think it's just getting into that formula now that HBO has in terms of what they're producing crime series wise.
Now, Big Little Lies was hugely successful. It was nominated, I think, for 16 Emmys in 2017.
It was, yes, and it really did deserve everything good that came its way. I thought the first series especially was just sensational. And again, you had Kelly taking a very well-known novel by Leanne Moriarty with a beginning, a middle and end, which is always great. The second series kind of, you know, went off the boil a little bit. But this novel, you know, very shortly or briefly, it just concerned five women in Monterey, California. And we know that there has been a murder in this town. But rather than tell you who has been murdered or who might be responsible, it plays out both the police testimonies alongside the incidents that led up to the murder. And along the way, you have accounts of domestic abuse in this small group of women. You have a rape case, which is, you know, the worst kept secret in this town. You have all of these rich white privileged people's lives just falling apart, you know, in behind the scenes, but they're presenting themselves as, like, you know, the perfect family to all of their friends, but nobody is who they say they are and everyone is a suspect, and it keeps you guessing right up until the end. It's actually a marvelous whodunit in terms of the fact that it keeps you guessing who is actually going to die right up until the end. And I thought it was a beautiful story, and I think the most valuable player of this series, other than Alexander Skarsgård, who walked away with every award that he could get, was Nicole Kidman. And I think she is better suited to this long form storytelling because she's very good at this stage in her career of, you know, you don't normally see it in movie stars and actors at this stage of her career, that she wants to still prove something, that she's still trying to find characters that are, you know, incredibly uncomfortable to spend time with, but you're just drawn to them. And I think Kelly's material just brought the best out of Kidman, so it's no surprise that the two of them would work together again, as they have done on The Undoing.
Okay, well, let's hear a clip which brings together Grace and Jonathan, that's Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. Here they talk about wanting to move out of New York, and Grace is worried about raising their son there.
I don't know. Sometimes I think we should move out of the city.
Sid, the most New York person I've ever met in my life.
No, but don't you worry sometimes that you're raising your son in a bubble?
I thought that was the whole essence of modern parenting, isn't it? Keep them protected from reality for as long as possible so that when they finally emerge, they can't cope and end up self-harming.
I thought we were doing really well at that.
Wow. What about Schenectady, huh? I've heard nice things about Schenectady.
Well, it sounds horrible, even phonetically. So is this a serious conversation?
Yeah. Yep. Manhattan is a lonely place. I mean, when you think about it, we don't have a lot of close friends.
Well, it's only because we hate everyone.
You hate everyone. I don't.
I wouldn't call us isolated. Our days are stuffed with people and their problems. I mean, we're right up close with them at their most vulnerable. Not a conventional social life, but in terms of meaningful human interaction, I would say we did very well. I don't like you being lonely. Mm. You lonely in there? Would you like some company? Would you like to be washed? Grace? Dr. Fraser with his magic hands.
God.
Shall I get my rubber glove?
Come on, come in.
I'm coming, Grace.
The very serious and the very naughty Hugh Grant all in one scene there with Nicole Kidman playing Grace. But don't be fooled, he's not that naughty fun Hugh Grant. Four Weddings and a Funeral is far behind him, isn't it, Chris?
It really is, yeah. And I should also say that I've always been a fan of Hugh Grant. He turned 60 there a few weeks back, and he has been talking in interviews around The Gentleman, which he starred in earlier in the year, Guy Ritchie's comedy drama. He was by far the best thing in that disaster of a film, and also for The Undoing. And he's saying that he is beginning to enjoy acting now, because he gave some interviews around the time that he starred in Love Actually, around 16, 17 years ago, where he admitted that acting might not have been the best profession for him to fall into, because although he was very good at it, I think, you know, Four Weddings and a Funeral, About a Boy, Notting Hill, 2 Weeks Notice, you know, you think they're very these kind of, you know, gimmicky romantic comedies, they're, you know, very lightweight. They're not really, because those kind of performances are very hard to master, and Hugh Grant made it look very easy, but it's not. And I think he was just fed up with playing the same character all the time. And it's magnificent then to see that in the last 5 years, whether through choice or whether it's just, you know, he's actually picking up, you know, the next screenplay that pops through the door rather than the romantic comedy one, he's transitioned into this wonderfully charismatic character actor, and that he's taking on roles that are, you know, it's almost as though he's a young performer stepping out of his Disney days and wants to prove that he's grown up and that he really can act. Because the roles we've seen him in, you know, in The Undoing, he is fabulous, because you do not know what to think of this man. And again, without giving anything away, you don't know whether he is quite playful, whether he is charming, or whether he is something nastier altogether. And that's, and to actually keep you guessing for 5 hours of television, that's a wonderful performance. It's wonderful writing, but it's wonderful performance. And alongside his roles in A Very English Scandal, where he played Jeremy Thorpe, and also playing a villain in the Paddington films, I think he is just at the beginning now of something special. I think he is experiencing something of a career renaissance. And I think The Undoing, again, is another shade. He's flexing muscles here that we've never seen from before. And he was the standout player for me in this show.
Yes, he is indeed. But getting back to David E. Kelly and The Undoing and Big Little Lies, you know, the class is an issue, as we've pointed to when we were describing both of the series. But it's not any great deep exploration of, I mean, they present class as in poor, that there's a, one of the characters is poorer than the kind of group of very wealthy, usually women. But it's very much a toe in the water in this area, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, you know, it's almost as though Nancy Myers, who, you know, made The Holiday and all of these films where, you know, Father of the Bride, all of these films where these fabulously wealthy white people with, you know, first world problems, you know, just they run into some complications, and you're sitting there thinking they were not really complications at all. And although this is a murder trial, and although it tries to, and although this series evolves into a murder trial, and you are thinking, wow, these people are getting themselves into big problems, they have the money there to make things work. And although it tries to question, you know, like show you that these, that, that there might be more to it, and you know, there are questions raised about, you know, if they were, you know, if this was a person of color, mm-hmm. that he wouldn't be getting away, or the mm-hmm. person who's responsible for the murder might not be getting away with such things. It doesn't really explore anything beyond overheard news reports. So it's quite a soapy, melodramatic piece of work. I would have liked if it went further down the psychological thriller route, because it is confined by the fact that half of the story does take place in a courtroom drama, so it doesn't give us anything new there. But it's the performances that kept me on side.
Absolutely.
It is flawed, but Hugh Grant is the best he's been in a long time. And I also should say, Donald Sutherland shows up as Grace's father. He is brilliant.
He does indeed.
Here.
Yes, and I'm, I think, 3 episodes in, and I'm going to keep going. My thanks to Chris Wasser. The Undoing will air weekly on Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday, October the 26th. That's it for tonight's show. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. The researchers were Paula Shields and Liam Murphy, and the programme was produced by Sinead Egan.